spokesman was for, it was Maroney, who wants to make us, address the board. We can limit these addresses to 10 minutes. Ten minutes to address the board, you've got all your, all the documents you submitted, you get the summary, and, you just want us briefly, well, what's, what your concerns are.
First of all, is it filming you for future references to you to somebody, or are you filming us?
I'm just filming the proceeding so that we can have a record of it. It's a public, still it's.
There is a record, maybe of the court.
Here it is here.
Yes, but I have.
It's up to us whether or not we want to be filmed.
Well, shoot, if you want to present the public record to me, a free copy of it, I don't, this is a public meeting, I think I'm entitled to.
Well, it's a public meeting, and you're entitled to, you know, and the record made at this meeting by the court reporter is a public record. I mean, you know, all you pay for is copy.
On your website.
Well, I don't know, I'll leave that to the board, but.
We're not accustomed. Anybody
has
a news media to bring in a camera.
I actually have a credential as a news
well,
professional
that's
as well.
That's, yeah,
so
that's
we can qualify under that if you want.
I don't care, but I just thought that we needed to know why and what you're going to use it for.
Thank you. Did I answer your question?
No.
No, you didn't. How about, what did you just, don't you have a recording that you can record the meeting?
I mean,
you record it on a recording device.
Are you expecting us to react to your presentation?
You know, I don't really know how you're going to react out of it.
I didn't ask you that.
So I
asked you, are you expecting us to react?
I would like to have a reaction, absolutely.
Well, you probably won't get one from those of us that objected to a camera being there. And that is stifled completely. So I just want you to go into this knowing that we probably will not give you many honest responses, but you're not trusting what you're going to use this tape, okay?
Yeah, let me just make sure that I answered that question directly because I don't mean to be evasive. We are making a record of this event, and it is possible that we will cut and paste some of it and put a video together. But it is part of our, you know, we usually record events where we speak events.
Well,
it's
we
not
anything
particular.
You know, it's intrusive. You know, other than news media, we have that entitlement to put to be photographing us.
My point is, it's a little unfair to this board, and I'm not trying to be a spokesman, to have somebody that's probably only two of us up here know who you are. It's still being filmed, and it'll stifle any conversation, so as long as you know, we may not react at all because of the camera. I think that's a fair warning.
Thank you.
Steve, I just wanted to point out to the board that the Open Meetings Act does allow for meetings required to be open to be recorded.
Oh, that's an okay. You won your point.
Oh, I didn't need to realize that. I'm sorry.
You won your point. Most, we have a general counsel for to advise us on proper procedure. But the Open Meetings Act allows it for you. It's an open meeting and therefore it's allowed. You might not like it, but it's allowed.
Well, my heart has still stands. You probably won't get much discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Smart, and I do appreciate your feedback.
All right, so,
you reported other meetings.
Yes, Mr. Smart, thank you.
But I just have
allow me to introduce myself. My name is Sharon Maroney. I am the Executive Director of Defend the Vote. I am a registered voter in the state of Illinois, a lifelong resident, and I currently, and for most of my life, have resided in McHenry County. The focus of our group, Defend the Vote, and we do have an agenda here. If anybody would like one, if you just raise your hand, our team here can pass one out to you for the meeting today. And the focus of our group is on preventing, before I start, I just want to, thank the Lord for allowing me to be here, especially on our sacred holiday today. I feel that's important to say. And we are an Illinois-based not-for-profit organization, and our focus is on preventing fraud actually before it happens through the process of working on best practices. So a lot of our poll watching and other activities is not necessarily involved with catching perpetrators of fraud. It's looking at the current structure of our security system and whether or not it passes best practices or some kind of security standard. And then we focus on three areas that spend the vote. We focus on ballot access, we focus on the voters, and we focus on actually casting the ballot. In 2010, I appeared for the first time before the board on an issue relating to ballot access. And so we're going to start real quickly with that. On our agenda, we have a couple of different action points as well. And when you look at the Illinois law and the U.S. Constitution, it requires that everybody in office is a U.S. citizen. And Illinois currently has a problem because nowhere in the system does it allow for proof of citizenship of anybody running for any office in the entire state.
Wait a minute. No, we're not here to discuss proof of citizenship. We're here to discuss ballot security.
That's right, Chris.
And proof of citizenship has nothing to do with that. All right? The Illinois law doesn't require proof of citizenship. That's not an issue.
Yes, you're correct. Illinois law does not require proof of citizenship. However, it does require for individuals to be U.S. citizens, and it is an issue of security because it relates to ballot access.
No. Section 1 and Section 2. It doesn't require proof of citizenship. It requires to be U.S. citizens. They sign a statement of candidacy attesting to the fact that they're U.S. citizens, and that's sufficient under Illinois law. Now, if you want to change that and require candidates to submit their birth certificate, you could go to Springfield and discuss it with the General Assembly.
You know, thank you for that suggestion. And part of Illinois statute and law also provides that the Illinois State Board of Elections will make recommendations to the General Assembly. And one of our action points today is that you would fulfill that responsibility and present a recommendation that since it is a reoccurring problem in the state that citizens are asking whether or not candidates that are on their ballot are in fact eligible, that you would put forth some kind of a recommendation to the General Assembly to take that issue up. Because if we all work together on that, we can get it solved so much faster.
Well,
so I've actually written a statement here that you could use. I'm sure that Mr. Sandbrock...
Are you back on ballot security now, or are we still talking about these further issues?
You know, I don't confuse the eligibility of citizenship strictly with Mr. Obama's eligibility.
This is not
a birther issue according to what we generally look at birtherism at. This is an issue related to the fact that it is a law that citizens have to be, or people that are on the ballot have to be citizens.
Right.
And currently we don't have that, and there's no way in the public record for anybody to count.
Well, then go down to Springfield and explain it to the General Assembly. The first guy you should pass that to be your state representative. And see if they want to put in a bill for that.
And I am putting in a formal request, and thank you for that suggestion, sir, for the board to take up the issue of making a recommendation to the state regarding the fact that there is a deficiency in the current statute.
We'll discuss that. Our legislative package has already been submitted and been posted. All the deadlines have been coming on in terms of introducing legislation. But the if you want to... got 10 minutes. I mean,
I'm sorry.
We've been already talking about issues of relevance to ballot security.
This is very important about security. And I just want to point out that Mr. Sandbrock actually made a recommendation that I should put forth a suggestion.
It's compromising voting systems. We've heard testimony before in front of the board about how electronic voting systems can be compromised by third parties. And we've taken all those suggestions into consideration that they made and recommendations into consideration. Now, if you've got any recommendations along those lines, we'd be glad to hear them.
Right. I will get to that. My second, I'm moving along, not to be rude, but I know time is important here. The second point that we have on the agenda is called parent conformity, and that also goes for ballot security. And I do want to rush through and just read this. There has been an appellate decision that requires the State Board of Elections to practice of parent conformity. And it has been told to me by Mr. Sandhoff that the Illinois State Board of Elections does not practice of parent conformity. And I want to serve proper notice to you that you are in you are not in compliance with Illinois law, number one. And number two, that there have been two appellate court decisions that have already ruled that it is your responsibility to assure that each petition before it is placed up for the ballot actually is in compliance with the law. And so that would be the second action point that I would like for the board to look at, is to adjust the Illinois State Board of Elections practices in order to avoid this upcoming lawsuit, of course, that would cause for the actual clerk to practice apparent conformity when ballots are set for, or when people apply to be on the ballot.
We've already gone to the Joint Committee on Administrative Rules, called JFAR, and have submitted a definition of ballot conformity. What ballot conformity, or I mean apparent conformity, entails, you know, other than, you know, the petition looking like the petition, a statement of candidacy being filed and what have you. JCAR denied our request for a rule defining the apparent conformity. We put in a bill regarding apparent conformity. What is it? How far can we go with it?
Mm-hmm. I'm familiar with that.
Examining a petition before, you know, there are objections there, but and the bill was defeated. So the General Assembly, the legislature, spoke on that issue. And we would like to expand it, but we can't expand it because we have to change the law.
I'm sure about that because the last time that the law was looked at, the appellate court ruled that actually the board does have a responsibility to practice apparent conformity.
Well, sure, we have a responsibility, but you know, if the General Assembly or its administrative rules arm, the Joint Committee on Administrative Rules, denies us, what are we supposed to do?
I don't know. How should I handle that? That's a great question. I don't know. How do we handle that? Because here we have a law and a problem.
The legislature, see if you can convince us. We can't. Apparent conformity to us right now is we look at the face of the petition. We look at that all the documents are filed properly. We can't go beyond that right now. We can have to go beyond that. That's up to an objector. If an objector wants to come in and say there's deficiencies in the petition, there's defects in the petition, there's not enough signatures, the signatures aren't registered voters, blah, 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 then, you know, we hold hearings on those objections.
Yes.
But, I mean, that's the way that the process is done now. Usually objections bring out any defects in the petition.
I do understand that's the way the system works. I also know that the court has specifically ruled that that is not the way it's supposed to work.
Well, so the court ought to, the appellate court, I haven't read that decision, but perhaps they should talk to the leadership of the General Assembly and say,
I don't think they do that. I think there's a separation of powers.
Well, I know they're blue in the face, and if we can't get something enacted, what are we supposed to do?
I don't know.
We can't enact laws ourselves here.
But you know, in 2008, Alan Keyes got on the ballot without ever signing a statement of candidacy affirming that he was a U.S. citizen or constitutionally eligible. So not practicing a parent conformity at that level is a problem.
Well, the parent conformity doesn't include citizenship. The parent conformity includes statement of candidacy.
Yes, sir.
Testing for citizenship.
That's correct. And you guys have allowed people to get on the ballot without signing the statement of candidacy in 2010, 2011.
Well, they don't allow to get on the ballot. Because they'd be objected to immediately and thrown off the ballot. That's a mandatory requirement.
That's correct. But if somebody doesn't object, they are allowed on the ballot. And Alan Keyes is one perfect example.
I can assure you, I think.
Wasn't he objected to it?
No. We voted for Alan Keyes, and he didn't ever affirm he was constitutionally eligible, because he didn't sign the state in the candidacy, which is why I'm concerned about apparent conformity.
Sort of, you know, for that's a federal law. Rules are a little different, but I mean, I don't recall that he didn't have submitted a state to the candidacy. I think he was nominated by the Republican RNC to replace the candidate who dropped out.
Well, sir, you know, I don't want to excuse the story. He actually didn't. It was a federal office. Okay, so moving on. Our second area that we're working with right now is the voters. And we addressed voter registration. We did an analysis, a statistical analysis of how many counties in Illinois have more voters that are registered to vote than are actually eligible. And our last data was 16 counties are at registration over 100%. And another 16 are at 90% or more. Now, I do understand that you have had some working going on in relationship to that. However, one of the problems in my research that I discovered is that even though the new law allows us to pull people off the ballot, to pull people off the voter registration rolls if they just died, we don't have anything that will historically go back and remove people from the voter registration rolls that have passed. So it's a fairly new relationship with the Department of Vital Statistics that now allows them to notify county clerks of death. However, it's not retroactive. And so I'd like to ask the board to address the issue of voter registration and the fact that we have rolls right now that are not compliant with the voter
I have a question for our executive director. We get reports all the time on considerable efforts of staff working with local election authorities and the progress on this very issue. Is that available to this involved is large and this information is in our board packet every month. With the
it's very impressive progress
in right. And it's public record.
Yeah, there's a purge report.
I think Kyle Thomas told me that there were still 8 municipalities that were over 100% in Illinois coming into the next election. 5. Okay, thank you. You're probably more updated on that.
Yeah, we're down there and donate some time to those counties and help them get their rolls cleaned up.
Well, I'm saying
they don't have any money.
I know, and I care deeply about our financial problems in Illinois. However, I don't think that the voter act, the federal act, take in that for consideration. So I do think we do need to address the issue in Illinois and pretty quickly. And I just would like to know how to go about following up with you.
Well, I think we are addressing the issue here. If the county can't afford to do it, it requires maybe an election judge to do this with payment. I don't know how they can be compliant without the money to perform the registration articles, the election don't require, an annual canvas. I think they're doing the best they can right now.
It's an impossible task. People die every day, and they can't, run in the next morning and say, hey, John Jones died. Let's take his name off the list. I mean, they're obituaries. Look through the obituaries. There's hundreds of people every day die in Illinois.
Yes, sir.
6,000-7,000 a week.
Well, the wonderful thing is that now the Department of Vital Statistics will send those death certificates to the...
Oh, but it'll be a day late, though. They won't get it done on the day they die.
Well, probably not. They shouldn't make that big of a difference, really. We're talking about people that have been dead for 20 years that are on the roll.
Carrying dead people on the registration roll because you can't afford to get them off, you can't afford to do the purge. Not having, again, as Errol points out, know, you can't really keep up with it 100%. But the problem is people voting on those things. The problem is the people voting on names of the deaths who are still on the registration roll. So that's you know, ghost voting in Chicago was notorious back in the day, you know, but it's today. And with electronic voting and what have you, I mean, it's not happening anymore, but it's happening. It's not a major problem. But we're just doing the best we can, and the counties are doing the best they can to keep their registration rolls clean. Anything else?
Yeah, we'll get back to that issue another day. Casting the ballot is the second area that we work with, and one of our investigations has been involving early voting. And one of the problems, you know, we were the group that basically identified that there's never been an audit of the early voting in Chicago or in Illinois, and early voting is basically 18% of our vote. Let me just briefly explain what that means. We have what's called a voter verified paper audit trail. So when you early vote, there's a paper trail that represents what your vote was. The problem is that we've never reconciled the paper trail with the electronic report that's put out. It's not part of the 5% audit. Of course, as of July 4th, that has been changed, and I know that you're charged with setting forth the new protocols, and I'm wondering if those have been written yet, if we can review them.
Over.
Diane, we have done the 5% test for the early voting.
Okay, test. The first time this credit actually transpire will be the day after the March primary. But we have the application in place. We sent everything and the instructions to the county, the election authority. Concerning it, we're getting calls and problems every day because it is a new application. But we should be ready to go the day after the election. There should be a 5% retest sent to all the election authorities of the early voting devices.
Great. We'll look at those protocols. And one of the great assets that Defend the Vote brings to the state of Illinois is a relationship with the Argonne National Laboratory through one of their leaders, Dr. Roger Johnston. And in that regard, Dr. Johnston has agreed, because he's a security expert, to review the protocols to determine whether or not, from the security perspective, that they do the job that we're all wanting them to do. So, Diane, I look forward to seeing those protocols. I looked for them last week.
What exactly do you mean by protocols, ma'am? What do you mean by protocols?
Well, I'm speaking in terms of procedures that you would use at the different county facilities to secure that is actually the audit of the vote has taken place and that it's a valid audit. You have to have procedures for an audit, right? I guess I'm using the wrong word, maybe? Okay, so moving on, we have another issue that is very serious, and in Illinois, they have decided that who runs early voting? The municipalities of the election jurisdictions can choose between employees or they can pick election judges. The vast majority of the larger districts choose election judges. The problem that we have is that if you are an employee in Illinois, you don't have to be a U.S. citizen. If you are running any kind of an election situation other than early voting, you have to be a citizen because you have to be a registered voter.
We're getting back on citizenship again.
No, I don't think so. So may I approach you?
You just said it twice.
Well, I know, but it's a totally different topic. And the problem is that we FOIA'd the I-9 form for the people who are running the election for Chicago early voting. And we found out that they are having non-citizens run some of our early voting locations.
Well, did you bring it to their attention?
Yes, sir, I did. And as a matter of fact, I have some of these I-9 forms right here because not only that, we have taken it to the Inspector General's office. Because out of 400 I-9s, 75% were incorrectly filled out. Now, this stack here represents all of the ones, and an I-9 form, for anybody that doesn't know, is what you sign when you get a job. It says what your right to work is. So So in Chicago, this is a stack of I-9 forms where nobody decided what their right to work was. They never signed it. They never indicated it. And in a bunch of other ones, they indicated they were non-citizens. And in one, a person who's been working in early voting now for 4 years, their visa has been expired since 2006.
Well, see, that's a Chicago Board of Election Commissioners and the City Inspector General should, do an investigation and determine if that's the case. And if you have information on non-citizens performing those duties, perhaps you should report it to ICE, you know, and let the feds come in and take care of that.
Yes, but, sir, but I just want to clarify that it's not that we are talking about people who have not, not only are they non-citizens, but their I-9 forms are not in compliance with the federal law. And so we have people running a voting booth in Chicago that do not indicate what their right to work is. And it's a big issue, and we're very concerned by it. And I would be interested to ask the board again if you would please consider a proposal to make a recommendation to the state that non-citizens should not be running early voting, and that in fact if they're going to use employees, that employees that are running that early voting need to be registered voters. And
well,
then they would be citizens.
That's fine, but this is something you probably should take into a court of law and have a court issue an injunction against the Chicago Board of Election Commissioners against hiring non-citizens to do voting work. This is not a matter that we can address here. You're going to have the proof. That's the case. So.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but part of your role is to let the legislature know about problems. And we've been investigating problems, and one of the problems that we found is non-citizens are running early voting in Chicago. Can you guys make a recommendation to change that? That's what I'm asking.
Well, the state can't make recommendations like this. Immigration is a federal problem. Legal immigration is a federal problem. The state can't make laws dealing with immigration. That's under the rubric of the Congress.
That's correct. I'm not asking for you to make rules about citizenship. I'm asking you to please make a recommendation that the only people that are allowed to run early voting locations and to make decisions about whether or not a voter, a U.S. citizen, can vote, that they need to be registered voters. That's my
agree with that, and I think you probably the Board of Election Commissioners and the City Inspector General doesn't do something about it, and I think you should go to court and contest it.
Okay, well, thank you for that, sir. I have a hard time with all the court actions because it costs a lot of money, and I don't have those resources. And, of course, I'm trying to save the state from having to pay their side of the court costs as well. But moving on, if I may, to the audit.
Well, I think we one more point, and that's it, because, there are a lot of times.
Very good. Now, in terms of the audit, what happened is I had been doing some investigations of the different protocols going on in Chicago before the elections, and had found that machines that were leaving the warehouse with their seals secured to them were appearing at the actual precinct with a broken seal. It began an investigation to try to understand what is the security protocols that are in place in Chicago. And as I mentioned earlier, our focus is to evaluate and assess what we have right now and to check that to see whether or not it fits security. So what I did is I took the basic guide that we have for training election judges. And I pulled out our protocols here, the training protocols that they have, and this is actually approved by you, because you guys have to approve this in order for it to go out. And I checked to see whether or not Chicago was in compliance. We pulled in a group of poll watchers. We only had 4 days to pull this together, and they visited 239 precincts. And what they did is they had a questionnaire with these 11 procedures on them, and they were scoring whether or not each precinct was in compliance. Now, 91% of the time, 215, they failed in one measure or the other. Now, what were these measures? These measures were, was the ballot box sealed? Was the equipment container that carried the equipment sealed? Was the sealed on the memory devices? And 91% of the precincts failed in at least one of those critical procedures. Shockingly, 57% failed in more than one, actually, but shockingly, 139 times they failed to seal the ballot box. Now, you are responsible to oversee and to choose and to make decisions about who gets monitored. I can bring in these poll watchers, and I can bring in their proof, because I have all the different audit sheets that they took, that they have observed that in Chicago, 139 times they failed to seal the ballot box. Well, Mr. Sandbox will tell you that there is a law in Illinois that every voted ballot must have a seal on it, or be have a sealed container, sealed process. So if we have that problem in Chicago, we're coming up to a really important election to a lot of people, and you have the power to choose who you're going to do extra monitoring about and who you're not going to.
We don't monitor, we don't have people standing in polling places.
No, but you do send out specific monitoring for different precincts. I've been told by the county clerk that you've been doing that for a while. Is that
well, you don't have to staff to monitor for precincts, all the precincts.
Of course not, yes. 2005.
Well, I mean, the state's attorney has people there, the attorney general, the U.S. attorney, FBI agents, everything else. Chicago was over-minded. These people are pretty well-versed in state law.
I would beg to differ. If there's 139 times out of 239 that the ballot box isn't sealed, it is not over-monitored.
Well, what I'm saying is there's a lot of people, in and out and standing in the polling places all day. Watching these processes.
Yes, sir. We have documentation of inspectors coming and going and not securing the ballot either.
Well, that's a complaint you should make the Chicago Board of Elections. I mean, the Chicago Board of Election Commissioners are considered judicial offices under the statute. They're appointed by the chief judge of the circuit court. And there's, that's where you should lodge your complaints. I mean, if you think there's some handy-bandy going on, there's some vote fraud or vote stealing going on, you go to the state's attorney's office.
Well, the problem is that if there is a law, sir, that requires ballot boxes to be sealed, and we have evidence from multiple people that will say it's not being sealed. How do we solve this problem before March?
We're not a law enforcement agency, and we can't, if they're not complying with the law, then the state's attorney should be made aware of it.
And so you have no powers whatsoever to influence Chicago to do a better job on their elections? Is that what you're saying to me? I think I'm hearing that.
I think there's a spokesman here, from the Chicago Board of Election Commissioners. I'm sure will relay your concerns to the board. The Chicago Board, they're a self-redemption.
So is there nothing that any of you will do to secure the vote in Chicago, is what I'm asking. A very specific question. Because obviously they're not.
Well, we were responsible, and in some cases submitted and or supported legislation requiring sealing of voting devices, sealing of ballot boxes. This was all years ago. I think back in the mid-90s when these provisions were enacted. So, we've done our job. And if somebody's not complying with the law, if the Chicago Board's not complying with the law, or if the, the vendors aren't complying with the law, that's a matter you bring to the board. And if there appear to be violations, you can prove there have been violations, you take it to the state's attorney. We can't do anything about it.
You don't have any power. Yes?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I did talk to the executive director of the Chicago Board of Elections Commission, Lashoff, and who was unavailable to come today, but I did talk to him about report of that, and he had told me that he addressed every situation that she had presented to him. So I assume that they're at least trying, because when I asked him directly, have you addressed any of this, he said yes. He said we've addressed them all.
I don't have any evidence of that. In fact,
you never talked to him.
I actually do. I just saw him 2 weeks ago.
Well,
And I'm supposed to testify there. He just keeps forgetting to get back to me.
Okay. Well, we've gone over to 10 minutes, 11 minutes. I think it's been about 20 minutes.
Well, and I just have a couple more points I want to show you. If you look on page 3.
We'll read about them, okay? We got through all your documents.
Well, we have some other speakers here, and I'm sure they...
Well, no, we're not going to hear any other speakers. You're the only speaker, and,
I just represent Defend the Vote. These are other citizens of the state that have spent a couple of hours here waiting to speak.
Were you informed before you came today that you would be one speaker?
I was informed that Defend the Vote would be one speaker. We have other people here who are part of the public and are not members of Defend the Vote that will have something to say.
In other words, you're trying to get around.
No, sir. I am trying to make a presentation to this board about ballot integrity in Illinois that I spend every waking minute of my life dealing with. And you want to give me 9 minutes or 10 minutes or 12 minutes?
Yeah.
And I want to show you these pictures here of how they secure the electronic devices. You talked, sir, about the seals. Look at these boxes. Each one of these boxes has all of the electronic devices for the ward of Chicago. Every single one of these boxes, guys, there's no way to secure them.
I want to talk to you, sir, about
ballot security.
Your reporter in the Argonne Laboratory.
Mm-hmm.
We've got your summary, your outline here. You know, we've got plenty of reading material. We've got something else here. There's another journal of physical security. We've got all kinds of reading materials here. We can read up on it. We're not going to sit here all afternoon listening to one person after another tell us things we already know.
Okay, I promise we won't be repetitive.
Well,
the last point that I want to make before I'm done is the security of the electronic vote. Okay, now,
you started with that.
Thank you, sir. I'm sorry you didn't like my agenda. But the extra point that we're asking for you to deal with is the reality that there have been new studies out that show that the electronic vote is not secure. Illinois does not audit the electronic code for the vote whatsoever. And I've been doing a lot of investigating about how we got different election systems here. And I would like to have the security protocols that we have set up for securing the electronic vote to be put before security experts that deal with the security of the vote as opposed to just whatever else. And let's look at these procedures and find out, because right now, the electronic vote in Illinois is completely insecure. There's no audit of it. There's no looking over the actual code that people write it. The code has never been audited. This is a huge issue. We want to know what happens in that dark hole between the time that we cast our vote and they come out with the report. There should be no dark hole. And this is where we are going to be encouraging all of you to consider. What are we going to do with the electronic vote now?
Well, when I approve a voting system, we've gone through the voting system testing laboratory. I'm not opposed to trying something in addition. That doesn't bother me at all. It's just that right now they're going through a rather lengthy process. An expensive process to come into Illinois right now. The benefits is what I'm talking about. But if there's something more that needs to be done, I'm not object to that.
Yes, Ms. Feld, I was told that when the current system that's used in Chicago and Cook County electronic system was approved, that it was rushed through without proper testing. And that you did not have sufficient time yourself, and even spoke up that you didn't have sufficient time to test that system. Is that accurate, ma'am?
Well, Hava came, and I had to get a lot of the systems done, but we certainly did test it rather lengthy. All of the systems together that Chicago and Cook used, I suspect we put over $250,000 through.
I think you're talking about security testing. Security testing, I think it'd be a great idea, except that it costs millions of dollars and nobody wants to come up with the money to pay for it. So
I guess I would like to wrap up my last few minutes before I turn the floor over to the other speaker.
No, you're not going to turn the floor to anybody else when you're done.
You guys don't get the talk, you've been here all day.
We allowed you to speak. Ms. Maroney, we gave you an opportunity to speak. You've gone over the time already. and we're not here to hear a bunch of other speakers. This isn't a debate.
I'm so confused because I thought public session was for people to talk, and one of the things that Maria wants to talk about is, are we really saving any money when we do early voting? We think early voting is too long. There's issues they want you to hear about.
Well, we understand.
We talked back 3 minutes.
No, we're not gonna do that. We're not gonna have a floor debate. This isn't the Larry King show, okay? we've heard your concerns, and I'm sure that everyone else has concerns about the integrity of voting systems in Illinois. And, you know, submit written summaries of your concerns. You know, we'll look at them. Like, I guarantee you, we'll read them. Our attorneys will read them. You know, but we can't sit here all day listening to one person after another. You know, if that were the case, you know, that's all we'd be doing. I mean, everybody's got a complaint about election law, election procedure, voting systems, and what have you. And they brought these matters to our attention. They've written us letters. If there's something we can do, we do it. All right, but we're not going to sit here all afternoon. You understood when you asked to be heard that you would be heard and not everyone else. You put it with you. You know, we just can't sit here all day listening to everybody, state their concerns. Put it in writing, send it to us.
Wow. I'm shocked, frankly, that you said that, sir. I'm just done, honestly. We're talking a couple of minutes for people that have waited for you to get through your agenda for several hours.
Well, our agenda, that's our official agenda.
Absolutely, and I'm part of that agenda. I was invited here. Yes, sir.
That's our official agenda. People file objections, they file complaints, and we've got to what? As I said before, what you probably should do is go to court. On some of these matters, go to the legislature on other matters. Diane will fill you in on what we're doing as far as ballots, the system testing. I mean, what else is there? I mean, we can't sit here all day. We gave you 10 minutes. You took more time. I allowed you more time. And, you know, we've heard your concerns. I mean, what more can we do?
You can take the board vote to see if anybody will allow 3 minutes to our few speakers that we have.
Well, Chairman, I would make a motion that we adjourn.
There's your board vote.
Wow.
Is there a second? Yeah. Roll call?
Aye.
Mr. Coffin?
Yes.
Mr. Galloway? Yes. Mr. Gray?
Yes.
Mr. Schneider?
Yes.
Mr.
Schultz? Aye, with the provision people can sign up again for our instrument. I agree.
Well, these people aren't with me, by the way. They came on their own.
You probably don't know any of them, do you?
Well, I
think the chairman allowed that to done. On the assumption that these people were good, so maybe that was a mistake.
We'll see you next month, then.
Let's go to Springfield. Springfield's me.
Perfect. Thank you.